I'm Ping Fong from Virginia Commonwealth University, and I'm going to present our work called Flag ECC, Partial Relaxing ECC for MLC, SSD for Bad Cache Performance. The basic idea is very simple, because we take the cache behaviors of the blocks to have the internal SSD internal management. And this is a collaborative work with the authors listed here from both Virginia Commonwealth University and the Huazhong University of Science and Technology. So my talk will proceed as follows. First, I will give a background knowledge and motivation of our work. Then I will elaborate on the cache-oriented design for SSD. Then follow that, I will give part of our evaluation results. And I will end my talk with a concluding remark. So SSDs are actually nowadays intruding our lives. So you can see the employment of flash-based SSD almost everywhere in the digital world, from your handheld devices to laptops to personal workstations and even in HPC infrastructures. Because of the salient features in aspects of performance, energy consumption, and the smaller feature sizes. So the driving factors of the success of SSD wide employment is can be mainly attributed to the following two reasons. The first technique is called technology scaling, which means flash sales are becoming more and more smaller. So in this case, then you can have more flash, you can have more capacity within the same silicon die. Just the second technique is called multi-bit technique, which means that each cell actually, each individual cell actually is designed to hold more and more bit information. As a result, we have seen the SLC, MLC, and the TLC. So because of the advances of such techniques, we have witnessed the Moore's law in the capacity so far. However, there are growing concerns behind of this successful thing, so called the bleak future. So it says that as the flash size becomes smaller and smaller, it becomes more and more difficult to sense out and store the information, which will cause unpredictable and inconsistent performance. So, and because of the small sizes, the cell-to-cell interference will become worse and worse, so which will cause the reduced lifetime and decrease the cell retention time. So this figure actually is from a previous paper which conducted a very comprehensive empirical study on the effects of flash scaling on the latencies and the lifetime and reliability. This figure actually shows, it shows that the read and write latencies are becoming more and more. And if the process of reading and writing operations become lengthy and lengthy because of the mentioned reasons in the previous slides. So in particular, in some cases, the paper pointed out that the latency to store one additional bits into a flash size could increase at 2.3 times latency. That's a huge problem. So this figure actually shows the same story for the lifetime and reliability. So basically, it also shows that as the flash size becomes smaller and smaller, the lifetime decreases and the reliability also decreases significantly. So to attack such concerns, we have seen that different error tolerance schemes have been employed from the very beginning when the flash sale is more unreliable, it's kind of more reliable. We just use this Hamming code, which can tolerate can correct one bit error and detect the two bit errors. Moving on, as it becomes, errors become more and more common, we have seen that the BCH, which can tolerate multiple errors, has been employed in the SSD. The correction capability, however, we have seen is increasing across the different generations. Typically, a BCH involves a tens of microseconds in decoding latency. And recently, error decoding called low density parity check has been suggested to be deployed in SSDs because it can tolerate even more errors. So, but nothing is for free. So the overhead becomes even higher than the BCH code. It's reasonable to anticipate that more and more advances, you know, protection schemes are designed. This figure just shows, you know, during the past decades, how the error correction and the correction capability has increased across the different generations as flash memory becomes smaller and smaller. Behind the increase in change of correction capability is, of course, the overhead. So that's part of the reasons why the increased latency, I mean, the latency of read and write increases. So for example, this figure shows that to tolerate a 5-bit error out of 1 kilobyte data, we impose just 10 microseconds latency. However, the overhead goes to almost the double the value, 17.6 microseconds, when we're going to tolerate 67 bits. So let's take a look at how the the ECC scheme will affects the flash operations. So every write actually is associated with the encoding process. To write the data, we have to encode them, and we write the page data and the resultant ECC information separately or in the together with this, within the same page. For each read, we first read out the page and associated with ECC information to verify whether there was corruption occurred. If there was no corruption, then we just return the data to finish that. But if there was corruption, then we have to go to, depending on the different schemes we employed, we have to go through the decoding process, which can take tens or even, it's also depending on the ECC scheme employed. So in the case of BCH, it goes to the three steps to, you know, to try to correct. If it cannot correct, then just fail the operations. So our question to this chain, this latency increase chain, is can we avoid such overhead? So our answer to this question actually is yes, at least in some cases, especially when you consider the current SSDs are more often used as a cache layer, as our first speaker and the next speaker will demonstrate that. So our approach is to design a cache-oriented SSD. So by selectively relaxing parts of the ECC to save the decoding latency to improve the cache performance, of course, you cannot, you know, lose the reliability. So to achieve that, we employ the following techniques. First, we have to identify the different requirements of the cache blocks, and accordingly, we, you know, provide the interfaces to facilitate such, you know, the message passing to the SSD to facilitate its internal management. Then inside the SSD, we partition the SSD, you know, cache into two separate regions, which is CRC region and the BCH region in our case. So to achieve that, we use the programmable memory controller. It is flexible. It can encode the pages either in CRC or BCH on the fly. To guarantee the performance do not degrade too much, because in any case, you just use simple CRC errors because CRC cannot correct, you know, errors. So you have to provide some mechanism to ensure the data correctness and the integrity. So to achieve that, we perform scrubbing periodically to prefetch the corrupted blocks. So here's the main interfaces we suggested to interact, I mean, to pass the information between the application and the SSD device itself. So we suggest the four interfaces we call the dirty write, clean write, host read, and the flash based on the how the operations is initiated. So, and this figure shows the overall architecture of our proposed system. At the very top, we have the cache manager, which combines the SSD and HDD. We modify the cache manager to collect the cache behaviors, and abstract them into the proposed interfaces. So inside of the SSD at the middle, we have the program memory controller, which can, you know, flexibly program the blocks either in BCH or CRC protected. And we have the conventional FTLs. So we perform a scrubber periodically to guarantee the data integrity, as I said. So at the very bottom, we have the conventional storage system comprised of conventional HDDs as the long-term storage. So this figure actually shows the page status that a page can be in our system. When it is in the host, it's called a host, but particularly when it is inside the SSD, it can be BCH encoded or CRC protected, depending on the exact state. So optimally, we hope that most of the time, the pages, when the application accesses the pages, we hope it is CRC protected so that we can take advantage of the saved decoding latency. Yeah, that's all the ideas. Yeah, it's quite simple, but to evaluate that, our system, we use the following setups. We use the flash cache, and we modify the flash cache to collect the cache box behavior. And then we wrote, based on the SSD simulator, we wrote an extended simulator to run the chases. And we use the FireBench to generate a variety of workloads to test the system. So here is we have four representative workloads, and we have two read intensive workloads, which includes 75% and 90% reads respectively. And to compare that, we compare our system with the SSD currently used, which is provisioned with the common BCH. In our system, we assume that each 4 kilobyte page can tolerate 12 bits error. So here comes the evaluation results. First, we present the average, we compare the average response time. So from this figure, actually, it shows that our proposed system actually can outperform the baseline on average 30%, and particularly it can improve the performance 60% for read intensive workloads because the relaxed decoding latencies will benefit from the read. And also garbage collection is very important. I mean, the faster the garbage collection finishes, the better performance, and the more stable the SSD will deliver the performance. So we collect the statistics for the cleaning time during the garbage collection. So as it shows, our system actually saves on average 20% cleaning time, which of course will fasten the garbage collection and improve the performance and keep the stable performance. So we also conducted the evaluation in 40 conditions because people have to care about how you just use protection scheme to protect data. You cannot correct errors. How about when the performance on the 40 conditions? And this figure actually tells us that our system, the error is not a concern for our system. Actually, it outperforms the baseline even in the different 40 conditions. The x-axis represents the worst robot error rate of flash memory, and the y-axis shows the normalized performance. So it shows that our system performs the baseline outperforms the baseline 17% on average. So because we use the scrubber, we also collect the statistics to verify that our scrub works well. So here's the statistics when the robot error rate is 10 to minus 7. And particularly, we have to pay attention to that disk access. Disk access means that there are corruption happen, but your scheme cannot service, your SSD cannot service the request. You have to access the disk system to service the request. Actually, though, as it shows, we introduce a lot of, more than 4,000 corruptions, page corruptions, but our system need only to access several times. But especially for example, file server, it is zero because the scrub takes advantage of the idleness in the workloads and the write will postpone the read operations, so it has more time to prefetch data from the underlying HDD storage system. So to conclude, we propose the cache-oriented SSD, and hopefully it has wide applicability because SSD are currently more often used just as cache layer. in front of the HDD storage system. In this system, actually, we identify the cache block reliability requirements by monitoring the cache behaviors at the cache layer, and then correspondingly, we apply either EDC, in our case, we just use simple CRC, and ECC, in our case, PCH, to the blocks. To prevent performance degradation, we schedule a scrub to ensure data integrity, as the last table shows. So we also demonstrate its performance advantage. Specifically, we demonstrate that our scheme improves the performance on average by 30% for the representative workloads, and particularly it achieves up to 60% for the read-intensive workloads. Finally, it even outperforms the baseline even on the various faulty conditions. So that's all I have today, and thank you for attention. I'm ready to take any questions or comments. Thank you.
I would think that if you do this, one of the important things is to understand the error rate in
yes.
Flash, right? For
yeah.
example, if there is rarely any error, then why don't you just do CRC, altogether? Because the chance for error is so low, and
yeah.
you should just use the least expensive strategy. Any you know, sort of response to that?
Yes, actually, in this case, actually, we just keep the error detection to ensure the data integrity. In case of error, we have to fetch the data from the underlying SSD. So, just one error detection capability is enough for our purpose in this context. So, but in our evaluation, actually, we assume that we have to decode, we have to tolerate this. The same amount as the correction capability of the ECC. But for CRC, we tolerate, we've provisioned to detect up to 12 bit error detection. But of course, different detection capability and we impose different latency. It's not that you just use the simple. In our evaluation, we use the same, for example, for the BCH, we assume it can tolerate 12 bit errors. For the CRC, we assume that it can tolerate 12. But as I said, in fact, only one bit error detection is enough for this case, because we just detect whether there is corruption happen or not. We do not corrupt that. But basically, the save the decoding latency depending on the correction capability. We have the theoretical analysis in the paper. So actually, the save the decoding latency is dependent on the correction capability. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.